The famous boxer Muhammad Ali was once prompted by an air hostess as they were preparing to take off in a plane, as we're all prompted, if this is the case for us, to fasten his seatbelt because he'd left his seatbelt undone. And his reply was, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." As we prepare to move into all that God has for us as a church into 2017 and beyond, it's important to be attentive what might need fastening or what might be undone in our lives. What might not be all that it could be. Because a big part of what secures us in relationship with God and with others is biblical community. Everyone is better together. And Greg, I don't know if we managed to find that. If we have, then we'll put that up. If we haven't, we'll just hear about it. Biblical community, though, does not come about just by sitting as we are on a Sunday in rows. And we gave you a preview of this about the end of November last year, about God's vision for us moving forward into 2017 and beyond. Biblical community comes about by sharing in circles of smaller groups who share relationship, who share life, who share faith, and who share in service. And if we're not attentive to that, then if we're not as attentive as we could be, our lives, if not our words, can communicate, "I don't need others." Not "I don't need Superman, don't need no seatbelt," but "I don't need others." Our society affirms independence in everything. Our society is full of isolation. The sense of independence and the sense of isolation across our society is greater than ever before. And yet, we all need others more than ever before if we're going to be the people that God and the church that God has for us to be. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter what stage you're at in your faith or your life. It does not matter whether you're relatively new here at Beaumaris Baptist or whether you've been a part of this church family for years. We all need others, and others need us. This isn't my vision, this is God's vision. And that vision was a reality amongst God's people in the verses described for us in the book of Acts. And I want to pick up particularly on what it says in verse 44. And in verse 44, it says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." And that sentiment is echoed when you go over a couple of chapters, fast forward a couple of chapters into chapter 4, when it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." What's the significance of this? It tells us in a practical sense in the next verse in Acts chapter 2 that flowed over into the practical sharing of resources. But that's not the main point here. The main point is that everyone shared in a common purpose. What was that common purpose? That common purpose was a commitment to community under God with other people. Now, sometimes people look at the early church and these chapters, particularly in Acts and the ones around here, and they say, "Oh, that was just surreal. It seems perfect." And yet, I can tell you, you only have to look a few chapters on and read into the rest of Acts and read through the New Testament, and you see that they were far from perfect. And still today, we are all far from perfect. None of us are Superman or Superwoman. As Muhammad Ali said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." Well, none of us are Superman when it comes to life and faith. None of us, all of us have struggles. All of us come with baggage. All of us have vulnerabilities. All of us have weaknesses. We all come as people who do not have it all together. And it's because of those very things that we need not only God, but we need others around us in community. If we're going to move and become all that God has for us to be and do, we share in a common purpose. And that common purpose as a church is to be finding and following Jesus together, not independently of each other, not isolated from each other, but alongside one another. Why does everyone sharing in this common purpose, why is it something that we all need to share in, a common purpose? Well, to start with, a common purpose helps us keep focused on what's most important. I did some kayaking over my breakaway. I kayaked on Lake Eildon, I know a few people here are kayakers. Greg at the back on the multimedia and our multimedia team regularly do a great job with for us behind the scenes there. Greg's a kayaker. Simon, you got out on the kayak yet? Sailing, yep. And so there's a few here who've been kayaking, I know. But when I kayak, whether it's in a lake or a river or out on the bay, I like to stop paddling at times along the way, and I like to just take in what's around me because it can take you places that you can't get otherwise. Only problem is, before I realise it, I've drifted. It's easy to drift without even realising it. And that is true not just in kayaking, but that is true when it comes to our lives as followers of Jesus. Before we know it, we can be drifting from God's best for us. And that is particularly so if we're not sharing relationship, life, and faith with a small group of fellow followers of Jesus. The currents and the tides, not out on the water, but in the times in which we live, are ones that are strong in pulling us away from God and His best for our lives. The currents and the tides are strong with a sense of independence and a sense of isolation. And that's why it's so important that we are in community with others. I often say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? That we need to keep the main thing in our lives as followers of Jesus. Jesus makes it clear. He poured his life into it, and his last words spoke of it in Matthew chapter 28. This is what he says, and many of you would be familiar with it. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. What's most important to God is that we are all growing as disciples or as followers of Jesus. And because that's so important to him, that is what needs to shape what we are and what we do as a church. And that is why smaller groups of people functioning effectively, where relationships are formed, where spiritual formation takes place, where ministry to others happens, are such an important part of us moving forward as a church. Because I can't develop into the disciple or the follower that Jesus has for me to be, and neither can you, without sharing relationship, without sharing faith, without sharing ministry with others, beyond what we experience on a Sunday. Church is far more than just showing up on a Sunday. There's so much more to it than that. And that's described here in Acts. It's about worshipping with a larger group of people, yes, but it's also about growing as a part of a smaller group and serving in ministry. I've played chess since I was young, but while we're away on this break, Michelle, who's never played chess, we walked past this outdoor chess set. And she had this idea that maybe I could teach her chess. Well, I had to think about that for a moment. And then I embarked on the adventure of teaching my wife how to play chess. But what I taught her, as I thought about it, what I taught her was the importance of using all the pieces, not just some of them. And if you know anything about chess, you'll know that the queen is an important piece. But you need to use the other pieces too if you're going to play chess as it's meant to be played. If you just rely on the queen, you're actually going to make it more difficult to play chess effectively. And I want to use that analogy to say attending a worship service on a Sunday is an important piece in God's plan for every one of us. But if we rely just on that for our spiritual growth and our sense of community, we're always going to fall short of all that God has for us. We need to not just rely on that if we're going to be the followers that God has for us to be. We also need the peace of being a part of a smaller group. And there will be new smaller groups forming into this year ahead that everyone will be able to link into in one way or another. And we also need the peace of giving out or serving in ministry and mission. A common purpose helps everyone to be focused on what's most important, but it also helps everyone engage in a greater way with God and with others. There's in verse 42 here, what does it say as it describes God's people? says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. That's engagement. People were actively involved. They were actively engaged in what was going on amongst and around them. They weren't simply passive attenders. And our vision here at Beaumaris Baptist, or God's vision for us, is not so much about how many people attend on a Sunday. We're getting more and more people attending on a Sunday. The church is growing. But that is not the most important thing. The most important thing is how many people are engaged with what it means to be the church. To engage different people, and we are all different people, to engage different people at different stages of faith and life, we need different types of small groups moving forward, not just one type fits all. And let me use the analogy of going out for a meal. When you go out for a meal, where do you start with? You start with the menu. If you open up the menu, if I open up the menu and all there is pork, that's seven to me. It's fine by me, but it's just not going to cut it with my wife or some of my kids. They just don't like pork. They're not going to engage or connect with pork. Whereas for me, it's fantastic. The point is this: just like you need different types of food to engage with people of different tastes, we need different types of groups, small groups, that will help, and not just some, help everyone engage in a greater way with God and with some other people. Our small group task force met and prayed and planned in the second half of last year identified a menu of five different types of small groups to most effectively engage with everyone. That includes life Bible study groups, yes, but it also includes age and stage groups like our seniors group, our parenting small groups, our youth small groups. It also includes service and mission groups. It also includes transitional groups for people transitioning through different stages of life and faith, and also special interest groups. Because this is about mission. This is about ministry, not just our own growth, but this is about reaching out to others as well and making a difference in the lives of others. And you'll hear more about all of these different types of groups into the year ahead. Why one group might engage with some people, while another will engage with other people. But between them, the intent is that everyone is engaging with God and engaging with some other people in significant ways. That's the ultimate aim of sharing in a common purpose so that everyone experiences God at work. That was the case, certainly, in the life of the church that's described here in Acts. We read, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. We read in verse 47 that the people were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. People were finding Jesus, and that's still our vision, for people to find Jesus in and through the life and ministry of this church. People were discovering more of what it meant to follow Jesus. Times are different, yes. But still, people finding and following Jesus is our calling as people experience the wonder of the work of God in them and around them. I close with the picture of an orchestra. Every instrument that makes up an orchestra is quite different to the other instruments. Think of it with me, a trombone is nothing like a flute. A double bass is nothing like a xylophone. They make totally different sounds. They look totally different. They are totally different. And yet they share a common purpose: to be attentive to the conductor and to together produce a beautiful sound that they couldn't in the same way on their own. God's vision for you and I and everyone else here is to experience the beautiful sounds. And there is no more beautiful sound than the wonder of biblical community. And we're going to look at more of what that involves over the weeks ahead. But that only comes as we too share a common purpose alongside one another, as we are attentive to our conductor, the Spirit of God, who gives us our cues, who directs us in becoming all that He has for us to be. Will you join me in this common purpose now and into the year ahead? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that we are brought together because of you and the wonderful sense of purpose that is found in and through you and the wonderful blessing that that comes in and through you. And God, we thank you that you have created us to not only be in relationship with you, to need you, but to need others as well, and others to need us, to be in community with others under you. And God, my prayer is that not only myself, not only each person here, but others others beyond here even would experience all that you have for us in and through you and in and through biblical community. That we would not just experience some of what we have for us. That we would not put a lid on or block just get in the way of what it is that you want to be doing, but that we would experience the fullness of your work in us and around us. Help us to take those next steps as a part of that process over this year ahead, to be attentive to what's most important, to be attentive to what's most important and what's going to most effectively help us to develop as a follower of Jesus, or what's going to help us to find Jesus in greater ways. Help us to be attentive to what's going to allow us to engage most effectively with you and with other people. And we pray that the ultimate result of that would be the beautiful and rich sounds of biblical community in this place. God, thank you for all that we can find in and through you. Thank you for all that we can find in and through relationship with others under you. And we pray your blessing upon that as we seek to move into more and more of all that you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to lead into a together time, a time of communion that Rob Jarvis is going to come and lead us in. Thank